For more protection against bad weather hitting your crops, Hendricks Insurance Services offers Total Weather Insurance, a full season program designed to pay out automatically when bad weather hits. Learn more from Luke Hendricks at Hendricks Insurance Services at 815-844-6729 or 815-383-6209.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that U.S. wholesale prices dropped in November for the third consecutive month, pushed down by cheaper gasoline and home heating oil costs. The producer price index declined 0.1% in November. Gas costs tumbled 0.7% last month. Excluding energy and food prices, wholesale costs increased 0.1% in November. Two U.S. senators introduced a bill yesterday to eliminate the corn ethanol mandate within the renewable fuels standard. Senators Dianne Feinstein and Tom Colburn said the policy promoting corn-based ethanol is misguided because it pushes prices higher for food while not benefiting the environment. The bill would eliminate the annual increases in the amount of renewable fuel that must be blended into the total volume of gasoline refined and consumed in the U.S. Renewable Fuels Association President Bob Dineen called the bill, quote, monumentally stupid. The House has passed an extension of the Farm Bill law until the end of January. The House passed the bill amid fears that the expiration of dairy subsidies at the end of the year will cause milk prices to rise. But Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack has assured Congress that will not happen before the end of January. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has said the Senate will not pass an extension because it is unnecessary. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 15,741. It's unchanged, actually, on the day. The NASDAQ is 34.73, up 14, and the S&P 500 is 17.79. It is up 4.25 points. Agricultural analyst Aaron Curtis of MITCO in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, says WILL's agricultural marketing information is well-received across the Corn Belt.
Well, I've never heard anything but positive comments, Dave. I think, in this environment we're in now, especially with the volatility in the markets, I think it's always nice to have a place to go to be able to sort out some of the things that are affecting the market. And anymore, Dave, it's just harder and harder to find that knowledgeable source of information. And I think that's where you guys continue to be a shining light. I mean, continue to offer timely information, information that's important to what the producers are doing on a daily basis. And I think, like I said, it's harder and harder to find that information. And I think you continue to be a valuable source for some important stuff in a very volatile time.
WILO Agriculture has helped you to sort out your marketing strategies in what has indeed, especially this year, become a very volatile marketplace in the futures. Won't you consider right now a gift of financial support? Call 217-244-9455, and you can keep timely and dependable market analysis heading your way year-round. Les Schulte alongside Les. As I said before, this marketing year has been incredibly volatile. There have been huge ups and huge downs in a very short period of time.
That's right, Dave. And that's why I think the comments that Aaron just made are so important. Because you need a source that you can instantly get that kind of information from that you need. You need to know what's happening in the markets overseas. You need to know how the price of a new crop is trending right now. And it's times like these when you turn to WILL for the news in agriculture. The Ag News here on WILL Radio is an immediate and ever-present source of vital farm news. It's, you know, we have text messaging and we have phone update services that, so you're never far away from that latest news that you need. And that's what we think we're trying to provide for you. A service that you can use. We have 21 analysts on our broadcasts each week so that you get a variety of opinions, not just one person's opinion on what's happening, but you get a variety of opinions. We know that you are a sophisticated business person. You need information so that you can make good decisions, and that's our goal here, is to provide that information for you. And we do that, though, with your support. And that's why we're asking you right now, towards the end of the year, make another tax-deductible contribution.
Great time to do it.
You know, you make a couple of people happy when you make that pledge of support. Well, you make yourself happy because you're going to get some good information. You make your tax accountant happy because you've just made a tax-deductible contribution, and he's going to say you're really smart. Think about making a $120 a year contribution to WILL. That's a $10 a month investment into this service. I bet you probably, you know, subscribe to magazines and subscribe to services. Maybe even you spend more than that
easily
on those kinds of services to give you that information. We give you that information too, and we're just asking you to invest a little bit back. Call this number, 217-244-9455, or online at willpledge.org. Thanks.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather and the weekend weather outlook is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest weather is expected to be a little mixed here, with a storm system expected to move quickly across the region today, but it will likely result in snow, freezing rain, sleet, and rain occurring across many areas in the lower and eastern portions of the Midwest, as well as portions of the Delta in the southeast. Now, most of the frozen precipitation is expected to occur from parts of Missouri into Ohio and southern portions of Michigan. These areas will likely see largely an accumulation of snow with 2 to 4 and local 6-inch amounts possible. The 6-inch totals will be on the northern fringes of the precipitation region, where the temperatures will be consistently cold enough to support snow all day today. Just to the south of that, more of a wintry mix of precipitation types is likely to take place and will likely end up with a little ice accumulation in some areas from portions of central Missouri into the immediate Ohio River Valley. Areas to the south will get mostly rain and will expect to see some thunderstorms in a few locations across the Delta and into the southeastern states. As I mentioned before, this storm system will be fast moving. We expect the majority of the precipitation to be over by the time we get to Saturday afternoon, with the exception of a few easternmost areas in the Midwest. And it looks as though this storm system will be not followed by a significant bout of colder air. Some cooling will occur, most definitely, but it's not going to be bitter cold, not like it has been, and we will still have to deal with about 2 days worth of cooling before we get involved with a significant warming trend. The warming trend that occurs next week will occur also while precipitation is put down a little bit. We'll see some disturbances moving across the upper parts of the Midwest from the northern plains into the Great Lakes region, but we're not expecting to see the precipitation very significantly. A few hundredths of an inch, upwards to 1,500ths of an inch, will occur most often on a daily basis, with a couple of localized amounts maybe getting upwards to 0.2 of an inch. The greatest precipitation may occur downwind from the lakes, and that'll be the case pretty much from late Sunday into about Tuesday of next week. Now, there will be a warming trend as we go through the early part of next week, as the stage gets set for another storm system of size to begin impacting the U.S. during the second half of next week, and in particular about a week from now into the following weekend. That next storm system, the 19th through the 22nd, promises to produce widespread precipitation across a big part of the eastern U.S. and in a portion of the plains as well. The storm system promises also to produce considerable snow and blowing snow across northern portions of the Midwest and out into the central and northern parts of the U.S. plains, while rain and rain changing to snow impact other areas in the Midwest. The storm system is still advertised as being a very large system with a significant potent cold air mass coming in behind it beginning in that second weekend of the two-week outlook. There's still obviously a full week ahead here before we get involved with this next storm system, so the odds are fairly good that changes will take place before it arrives. Right now, it doesn't look like any area in the U.S. hard red winter wheat country will be impacted significantly by precipitation here from this first storm system. The storm that occurs in mid to late week next week might have a greater impact. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red March wheat, 673 and a half, down 4 3/4. Soft December, 620 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. December corn, 423, down 5 1/4. March, 429 and 3/4, down 4 1/2. July, 444 and 3/4, down 4 1/2. January soybeans, 1318 and a half, down 5 1/4. July, 1277 and a quarter, down 6. December soybean meal, 458.30, down 110. December soybean oil, 39.45, down 35.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Boy, ethanol futures took it on the chin yesterday, didn't
they? Yeah, they sure did. The profitability on ethanol, even with the corn dropping in price, is down pretty substantially. One of the interesting things, of course, you know, the market was reacting to some of the couple of containers of DDGs being rejected in China because of the certain trait there. But really, DDG values in the cash market haven't really weakened that much. So it's kind of interesting there to see that reaction versus what the reaction is in the ethanol and corn markets.
And we're seeing follow through today to the downside in the soybean market. Are you on alert that a trend change might be in the offering over the next week or two?
Well, there's a lot of talk out here about China cancellations. I mean, I think we should just be in the mode that that's going to happen at some point once we get down the road. I don't think it's going to happen for a while yet. But I think we have to be in that, prepared for that, because whenever we see the switch from where China's buying beans from us to where they're buying them from South America, I think, you know, that kind of changes the mode here for U.S. soybeans. But I don't think we're there yet. I guess I think we got to get down the road a little bit further, get through their, you know, quote, August-type weather down there before we make that transition.
So if weather becomes favorable, remains favorable, then you would say, if we're looking at the March chart, that 1335, definitely the high on the contract.
I think that's showing that now. I mean, we tried that area here several times. I think we've got good support down here, though, around the 13, and probably could go down and test the 1275 area even. But I think for now that's probably it.
And I guess a similar question would be in corn, because we're testing the lows for the week once again.
Yeah, I think the same thing kind of there. We got up and tested some pretty good resistance areas. I think we did see some selling, but obviously not a lot. When you look at one of the things I wanted to mention this morning is, you know, there's a lot of free DP being offered out here.
I heard that.
And that typically, if you look at it, means that, you know, the buyer isn't getting enough corn bought. He needs to get his hands on some additional corn and feels like he can offer the free DP and then has the ability to maybe buy that back in at weaker basis levels later. So from a farmer's viewpoint, you know, you need to look out at the basis levels. The flat price may not be there, but, you know, you may want to look at if you think that you can lock in some pretty good basis levels, look at doing that.
And does that basis play sort of that window end mid-January, do you think?
Yeah, I think the farmer has some control over that as far as when they, you know, start to actually start to move some of this corn. But I think what you could see is maybe a little bit higher move up into January with futures prices, farmers selling beginning, and then the basis weakens. Cash price may not get a lot better.
There's been some talk about producers looking at potentially getting some sales for 14 beans on the books. What do you think?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think we should have some, at least a start on the beans is kind of the way we've been trying to. We've been trying to target like a 1150 or so, cash number thereabouts. I'm not going to get too critical on whether it's, 1140 or 1150 necessarily on the cash side. But I think having some beans on the books, it works from an economic standpoint.
And if that's the worst sale you make, great.
Yeah, and it's just getting to be time here where if you don't have some new crop stuff on there, both corn and beans, you probably need to be looking at the opportunity to get some done.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Les, about 6 hours a week that we dedicate to agriculture, and we do it because it's big business, and we do it because we're in the middle of corn and soybeans and wheat across Illinois and across the Midwest. If you look at our website, our free Aggie newsletter, we're trying to make a difference to all these producers.
That's right, Dave. We are. We're trying to make a big difference to you. We're trying to give you the information you need, and we hope that you appreciate that. But it does take dollars, and that's why we ask you to step up, make that pledge of support. Think about making a $120 a year contribution to WILL. 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
You're listening to WILL Urbana.